In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The reason why the priest wears rose vestments today is that the church is anticipating with joy the arrival of the Savior on Christmas Day. Just as the Israelites in the Old Testament must have been consoled when they heard the prophets speak of the future Messiah, so does the church rejoice as she relives the years of anticipation of the salvation of the world. Advent commemorates that time of humanity, a full 4,000 years, which is twice the time from now to the Roman Empire, twice that time, in which there was no blessed sacrament, no Savior, no sacrament of penance in which to wash your sins, no sacrifice of the Mass. There was only the hope of a Savior, a hope that had to live from generation to generation, from century to century. There was only a hope and a tenacious faith in the promises that were made to Abraham and to his seed. But today the church rejoices because the Lord is near, as St. Paul says. This joy of the church is more than merely a commemoration. Christmas Day, it is true, is merely a commemoration of something that happened 2,000 years ago. But that is not merely a historical fact in a dusty history book. Rather, the awaiting that the church has today and her rejoicing is because there is a presence of Christ in our souls that is spiritual and mystical. For in this life, our true Christmas, our true trip to Bethlehem, will be a holy death, in which, if we should die absolved of our venial sins and of our temporal punishment due to sin, we will see God. That will be our Bethlehem. That will be our transfiguration, our resurrection, all of the mysteries of Christ into one holy moment that will last forever. But before this time of beatific vision, there is an anticipated joy, and that is the joy of possessing God in our souls through the state of sanctifying grace. In a very real sense, the Lord is near to us, and His nearness gives joy to our hearts. Just as the prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament were a source of joy and consolation to those who heard them and awaited Him, so is the presence of God in our souls a source of joy to us who await Him in heaven. And just as there was great joy in the shepherds and in the Magi when they actually laid eyes upon the long-awaited Savior, so also our joy will be abundant and complete when we see God in heaven. The soul experiences joy whenever it possesses spiritual goods. Being a spirit, the soul cannot be satisfied with a material thing. The soul does not take any joy or has no longing for food, drink, gold, comfortable furniture, glitter, or nice clothing. It has no interest in those things. The soul delights in spiritual things. It delights in the virtue of justice, in charity, mercy, kindness, fortitude, and other spiritual goods which money cannot buy. And it is for this reason that the soul is interested only in those things, that the divorce rate is so high. For although couples can buy and enjoy goods with unprecedented ease, because of unprecedented prosperity, nevertheless, their souls are starved because their materialistic selfishness deprives them of the most basic spiritual goods, they become unhappy and break up in their marriages. Or their concupiscence of the flesh is so strong and intemperate that their relationships are based only on the flesh, and their souls are starved for even the most basic joys of human friendship. The soul is blind to material and fleshly pleasures and craves spiritual goods of which I speak. St. Francis de Sales gave the beautiful example of a baby and his mother. And he said, imagine that the mother has on a magnificent necklace of precious jewels, something that would befit a queen, something that would cost thousands, perhaps millions of dollars, solid gold and emeralds. The baby wouldn't even pay attention to it, but would be interested in a single thing, and that is his mother's milk. And so the soul is not interested in any of those things. It is interested in God. God and the things of God, spiritual goods. And the reason for this is that God has made the soul for himself, and the soul will not rest until it finds its joy in the possession of God. Thus, in this life, the possession of God through sanctifying grace is the greatest of all joys. For when God comes and takes up his abode in the soul, he orders the soul profoundly. He gives it order, and this order gives it peace. And this is the peace which the world cannot give, as our Lord himself said. When this possession of the soul by God is perfect, the joy and the peace of the soul is perfect, so perfect in fact that it cannot be taken away by any worldly tribulation. This is not to say that we cannot suffer or that we cannot feel pain or loss in this life. It is to say, however, that whatever pain or loss or tribulation we have in this life cannot disturb our interior peace and joy. For no matter what should come to us in the way of pain or tribulation, physical or spiritual, the essential joy of the soul is not disturbed, because the essential possession of the soul, which is God, is not disturbed. Look at our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. In his sacred human nature, his human intellect, he beheld God from the very moment of his conception. So as he was being spit upon, and as he was being kicked, and slapped, scourged, and finally nailed to the cross, he was going through an intense physical pain, an intense sadness, interior sadness, but at the same time, he had an interior joy because he beheld the face of God. The same could be said of Our Lady. She did not behold God. She did not have the beatific vision in her soul. But nonetheless, her grace was so perfect, the life of God in her was so perfect, that she had an interior peace all through the horror of watching her son being crucified to a cross and dying on a cross in an ignominious manner. Because none of those things, terrible as they are, could disturb the possession of God that she had in her soul. In a similar way, the martyrs of the church in all ages went to their deaths in joy and peace, in holy resignation, forgiving their executioners and praying for them. The sisters, the Carmelite sisters of Compiègne during the French Revolution, were carted away in the manure carts to the guillotine in Paris. And eyewitnesses said that they sang the Salve Regina as they went up the steps one by one. And this was the comment of the witnesses, that they were as joyful as virgins going to their weddings. It was like wedding day for them. That was the joy that could be seen on their faces. And this is true of all of the martyrs, that not even the display of the engines of torture and horrid death can take from them this interior joy and peace. As a matter of fact, we might say it increases it, because they know that they are about to see the longing of their souls, which is Almighty God. But someone might say, I lead a good life. I think that I am in the state of sanctifying grace, but yet I am often troubled and sad. The reason for this is that your spiritual life is not perfect. Rather, it is tarnished by worldly attachments. For where the world is, there also will be found sadness. For the spiritual joys which the world affords are so impoverished and fleeting that the soul knows only momentary happiness, which must be constantly filled in by some other momentary happiness. Whether it is the thrill of buying a new car, or the fascination of a new gadget, or the excitement of a new house, or new furniture, or the intoxication of the pleasures of the flesh, or the ravishment of making or having money. Any of these things, the soul gets so little from these worldly pleasures that it finds itself in a nearly constant state of seeking and not finding. And it experiences sadness. These joys, these worldly joys, are like parties where everyone has fun for a few hours and then the night comes to an end and they go back to their sadness. So if you have sadness, it is because you are envious, or because you love illicit pleasures, or because you love material things too much, or because you live for human respect, or you love your human relationships more than your relationship with God, or like eating food devoid of taste, you desire to fill your minds with the insipid and vapid distractions of the television set. Nothing is more depressing, really, than to sit in front of that thing. Nothing fills the soul with more sadness and emptiness. Yes, you will find sadness if you love the world, and at times bitter sadness, for these desires can only meet up with fulfillments that will assuredly and quickly fail you. In order to discover the interior peace and joy of Christmas, therefore, which we anticipate today in this joy of Gaudete Sunday, the thing to do is to become more detached from the world and more attached to God. If you are in the state of mortal sin, then profit from this season. Now is the time to do penance. Go and confess. Even the hope of forgiveness, even the thought that I can just go and confess and bring my soul back to where it should be, that I can have this interior joy and peace that God gives us and of which the priest is today speaking, that itself is a joy, that we have access to the joy of God with such ease. That itself is a joy. And if you are in the state of grace, if you lead a good life ordinarily, then ask for the grace to become more detached from worldly things, so that your love may be perfect and your joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.